afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Thursday. Get you through this crisis in a world where few things are reliable. We are reliable. You're listening to the Jason Rand Show. We're live on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM, the Greater East Side. We got a lot to get to. We only have 3 hours to do it. Property owners, business owners in Seattle, they are suing the city over CHOP. We'll tell you why. I cannot wait for that lawsuit to proceed. An actress from an animated show on Netflix says she's a racist, she's apologizing, she is stepping down. She is not a racist. We're going to tell you why she is so concerned with her actions in the past. Plus, Seattle is now home to a literal virtue signal in the form of an NHL stadium. We're going to get into that and so much more. This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
It was bound to happen, and I am so glad that it did. Even though it's going to probably cost me some money as someone who actually lives in Seattle. But I'm glad that businesses and residents are now suing the city of Seattle for their handling of CHOP, or really their lack of handling of the Capitol Hill occupied protest, formerly known as CHAZ. Now, one of the plaintiffs in this lawsuit is going to join me at about 4:15 to discuss why he's stepping up and suing. But let's go through the particulars, because this is a class action lawsuit. And it essentially says, look, we support Black Lives Matter as plaintiffs. You have the absolute right to peacefully assemble. You have the right to take whatever position you want to take, but you don't get to impact our rights as business owners, as property owners. Because the city essentially abandoned all of these plaintiffs, these residents, these business owners. They were abandoned. They didn't have access to police the same way they used to, or EMT, or the fire department. And on top of that, the city of Seattle bent over backwards to make it easier for CHOP to exist in the first place. They brought in public restrooms. They donated medical supplies. They gave them literal barriers that were used and misused to keep the city and even other residents and businesses out of the area. They cleaned up the park after these protesters, these occupiers. And yet these businesses don't get any support from the city. These businesses, when they call 911 like Cartender did, after an arson attempt and a break-in and vandalism and threats to be murdered by a mob of people outside of their business, they call 911 between 15 and 18 times, and cops are not sent. Cops wanted to go. They just weren't allowed. Because the city said, we're no longer going to give you police services. These businesses can't get people to bring them their supplies that they can then sell, whether they're a restaurant or an automobile service business like Cartender. They're not able to get their supplies. Customers don't even want to go in. Not a lot of them. And of course, then you turn to the residents who for so long have been complaining about how dangerous it is to live in this neighborhood. And again, they came up. Some of them wouldn't give their names for fear of retribution. They said, look, we support the movement, but you can't do this. And guys, do you not know what's happening after hours when it gets dark out? And on this show, we've been talking about how dangerous it is. On the show, we talked about what was going to happen. And then bam, over the weekend, you have a bunch of shootings. Four individuals getting shot. One of them, a 19-year-old kid who's now murdered. He's dead as a result of this. And beyond that, we know that it's just plain dangerous. People were passing out. People were having overdoses, apparently. There was an attempted rape. At some point, you have to understand that even though CHOP wanted to pretend that they could self-police and they have their own medical professionals, just not safe.
Create a space for me. This dude needs space.
Getting back up?
I am the guardian, homie.
All you're doing is talking
about. That's Harzong.
I'm Harzong.
Yeah, everybody back.
That's Harzong. She's got the back, homie. That's Harzong. She's the guardian of the dude who is passed out. Passed out, we don't know what from. But that's Harzong, which just, by the way, weirdly reminded me of this from King of the Hill.
I'm Harzong.
Tartuff, the spry wonder dog.
Does no one remember?
Nope, over my head.
It's Tartuff. That's Harzong. She's there. What happens when something goes wrong in the chop?
I'm Harzong.
Harzong comes to the rescue. Now, according to this lawsuit, it says the lawsuit does not seek to undermine chop participants' message or present a counter message. Rather, the lawsuit is about the constitutional and other legal rights of plaintiffs, which have been overrun by the city of Seattle's unprecedented decision to abandon and close off an entire city neighborhood, leaving it unchecked by the police, unserved by fire and emergency health services, and inaccessible to the public at large. And by the way, as this going on, do you think that any of these businesses or property owners get a pass on any of their property taxes, or do you think they still have to pay for them? Do you still have to pay the taxes that go into that fire service, the police services, the EMT services they don't even get to enjoy anymore? Why?
I'm Harzong.
Harzong is there and she doesn't want to give up the property. Now, the plaintiffs in all of this include owners of apartment buildings in the area, businesses in the area, including Richmark Label, the owner of which is going to be on the show in about an hour, Cartender, Northwest Liquor and Wine, Sage Physical Therapy, and Tattoos and Fortune. Now, my assumption is the city is going to settle this, but I hope the plaintiffs don't accept it. And I'm in a weird position here, because on the one hand, I want them to send a message, even though my tax dollars would go into any kind of settlement, and the city of Seattle needs to learn a lesson. But on the other hand, I'm wondering if they even care. The city of Seattle doesn't care. I honestly don't think they care about having to pay out a settlement to any of these folks, because it's not their money. It's not their money. Their budget is based on their willingness to continue to tax people. And so any money that they lose in all of this, they go ahead and just say, oh, we got it more. I mean, there's tons of people who want to live here. We'll just take more money from them. So I don't even know if there will be a lesson, but however we can teach them that lesson, however we get to do that, we need to try. This is not acceptable in the city. This is not acceptable in any city. It's only that in the city of Seattle, there are enough people who are okay with it, who justify it, who say, oh, well, it's crazy. So you know how we are. Do you think the folks who are listening right now, you're living in Covington or Bellevue or Enumclaw or Tacoma or ever, could you imagine this happening in your neighborhood and everyone being okay with it? Yet in Seattle, the belief is that people are just okay with it. And so I hope that they win this lawsuit. I hope they choose not to settle. I hope that goes all the way to court. And there's some kind of governmental action, judicial action. And maybe in the short term, some judge can say, yeah, you can't just tell cops they can't respond to 911 calls when there's an emergency. Meanwhile, a Proud Boy from Vancouver, Washington was arrested after he got into a fight at CHOP. And the arrest, by the way, doesn't appear to have anything to do necessarily with the fight that he got into, but the fact that he was not allowed to travel to Seattle because of an issue that he was already dealing with the courts with an arrest. According to KTU television, they say Tusitala Tiny Toesi, or Tozi, was arrested in Oregon and booked into the Multnomah County Jail. Tozi is known as a right-wing activist and has been associated with the Proud Boys. According to court records, he showed up at a protest outside of Seattle's CHOP zone and then engaged in a physical fight. A warrant was issued for his arrest on Tuesday and he was taken into custody. Now, the reason why I point this out is because I want to make sure everybody understands that Proud Boys are instigators. In a lot of cases, they, of course, have the right to protest the way they want. They do. They have the same rights as any other activist. But know that some of the Proud Boy members are going into these kinds of protests with the intent of fighting, and others go into it with the intent to instigate a fight so then they can fight back. And I think that's wrong. And all of us should say it's wrong. Now, I do think on the left, there's a tendency to overstate the amount of Proud Boy instigators or Proud Boy members in general. It's not like this city or the state is overrun with Proud Boys. In the case of, for example, in Snohomish, I believe it was only two, maybe three that showed up at the protest that we talked about a few weeks ago. But there's a group of them who literally only show up with the intent to get someone to fight them so they can fight back or so they can play victim. That's not how you're supposed to win arguments. And that's not how you move a political ideology forward. And I wish more folks on our side would acknowledge that. Because we are happy to point out, maybe not happy, but we will willingly point out when an anti-cop activist from Antifa or some anarchist gets in the face of a cop calling them all sorts of names, yelling at them, screaming at them, spitting at them, threatening to murder them, calling them sellouts, calling them all sorts of names, we call that out because the intent of that activist is to get the cop to throw the first punch, to instigate some kind of violence. And we would probably say, a lot of us would say, if you want to be honest, you would say, you know what, that person deserved it. How dare them? How dare they get in the face of that officer and say that nasty thing? So if we're going to call that out, let's call it out when the Proud Boys do it. Why? Because they're loosely ideologically connected to the Republican Party? We're going to choose not to do it? Let us be consistent. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. And it's okay to tell me that you disagree with my take on the Proud Boys. But explain it. Explain why we're so quick, rightly, by the way, to call out the Antifa activists who try to pick a fight with cops. But then when we see some of the exact kind of activism coming from the right with the Proud Boys, we step back and say, oh, well, they have the right. Let us stop trying to have it both ways. And you are not a sellout to Republicans or conservatism when you're consistent like that. You're not. In fact, when you don't call out stuff like that, when you don't call out people who willingly try to get into fights or literally get into fights, all you're doing is making it easier for the Antifa side and the anarchist side to say that they're victims. So why are we giving them any of those talking points, any of that narrative? Who does that serve? What cause does that serve? 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
So starting tomorrow, under the governor's decree, you will have to wear a mask or some kind of face covering when you're inside or when you're in a position outside where you cannot socially distance yourself. And this comes at a time where, as Joe Biden reminds us, we're looking at jarring numbers of deaths.
Unnecessarily, now we have over 120 million dead from COVID.
120 million dead from coronavirus. Did you not put that on my prep sheet? That seems like a huge... Maybe I misheard.
Unnecessarily, now we have over 120 million dead from COVID.
Yeah, 120 million. That's a lot of people.
That's what he said.
Why didn't I get that story? Do we have audio of that from some doctor or the task force? Nothing?
No, we just have Joe Biden saying it.
We don't have anything from, like, Birx or Fauci?
No, just Biden.
So it's not 120 million, right?
No.
I mean, it's 124,000, which is a lot. We'd like that number to be zero. That's not...
It's not a million, yeah. It's not 120 million.
I mean, maybe he miscounted.
He misread the commas. Yeah. Those are tough.
Well, and the zeros.
Those are tough. When you see all of them, it just really confuses everything.
Okay. So I suppose I'm looking at the mask situation in this way. Between wearing a mask and closing the economy, I will take wearing a mask even if I don't like it, even if I think it's potentially questionable legally, and I am fine for people who actually want to try to challenge this in court. Have at it. Get a judge to side with you on this. I will cheer you on, I guess. But I know that we are choosing right now under the system, under the rules in place, under the law, that it's between wearing a mask and potentially having the economy close down again. And as we've been saying over the course of the last several days, and really, whenever we talk about these mask decrees, it's not really going to be even enforced.
We trust people, you know, and by the way, this is about trusting Washingtonians. We're trusting Washingtonians to do the right thing here. We believe we're going to get a lot of compliance.
So he's basically saying it's the honor system. Now, if you don't want to honor the honor system, okay, I'm not going to encourage that. But what I will say is I cannot stand the people who try to take advantage of this loophole.
As far as folks who have medical conditions, there's no requirement in the order that you have a certification from a physician.
Can you not be that dude? Can you not be the person who pretends that they have some kind of illness or ailment that mandates them not wear a mask? Don't be that guy. That guy is annoying. And can we at least acknowledge that that's not a very a moral position to take? That's not a moral position to take, to pretend that you're sick so you don't have to wear a mask. If you don't want to wear the mask, then be the martyr, right? Be the person who says, you know what? I understand it's the rules. I am choosing to go the way of civil disobedience, and I'm choosing not to wear this mask because of X, Y, and Z. I don't believe you have the authority. I don't think it's medically meaningful. Whatever it is, that's your decision if you want to make it. But it is still civil disobedience. You don't go halfway, right? The people, and this drives me nuts, the left does this all the time, especially here in Seattle. You've got folks who will stand in front of a business, they'll put their arms in that weird chain link thing that the cops have to saw away, and then they get mad and they scream about being arrested. Like, dude, you're choosing to break the law. It's called civil disobedience. The disobedience means you're going to be punished for being disobedient. So take the punishment if you're going to have it. But don't go this halfway. Don't pretend that you have some sort of illness. Just stop that. But it's a loophole. Okay. It doesn't make it morally right. It doesn't make it morally just. Now, the moral argument is, if you truly believe that this goes against your principles and values and you believe that it's unconstitutional or whatever, okay, well, then say that. Then just say that. I'm not going to judge you for what you're doing, because it's your decision to make, but man, it is just questionable to me if you want to make a story up. So what's the point of that? That's not brave. You're not being brave by lying. You're brave when you take a literal stance on values, on principles. And if those are your values and principles, stand up for them. Don't cower with a lie. Cuomo was talking with a bunch of people all around the area, trying to get a general sense of where it comes from. And they got someone like Ronald from Tacoma. He's going to say, he's like, I'm not going to wear a mask, period.
I probably will be the guy that will be receive that first warning. But I know I'm not going to be alone. I know that there's going to be a lot of tickets written.
Maybe. I don't know if there's going to be a lot of tickets written. Texting us at 1-800-465-8770. Coming in from the 206, he says, I refuse to wear one because I don't want to. Governor Jay Inslee releases hundreds of prisoners from prison, yet he's going to put people in jail for not wearing a mask. Again, if that's your position, that's your position. Just don't say, I'm not going to wear a mask because I'm pretending to have some sort of illness. That's all I'm saying. And you're right. Governor Jay Inslee is a hypocrite. He has been acting inconsistently this entire time. Now, to be fair, he's not throwing anybody in jail. There's no one going to be thrown into jail as a result of this unless it leads to some kind of an assault against an officer who's just like, hey, just FYI, Peyton, we got this mask rule. I'm not going to write you up. If I would just do me a favor, if you can wear one, I'd appreciate it. And the cop's walking away, and then you go, no! And then you, like, hit him. Then you should go to jail.
You know what? I'm going to try and
don't
not
try.
Do that, but
yeah,
I trust your word.
Janice in Olympia said the new rule is for the greater good.
I think it's a really good idea.
Uh-huh.
We need to do this.
Okay.
Think about others.
Okay, I think that's not a well-reasoned argument. That's just a talking point that goes on a bumper sticker, but okay.
Hey, think about others, Jason. In everything you do, think about
that's
others.
That's definitely off my brand, my personal brand. I think about myself. I'm kidding. Now, this, of course, is going to be a problem for kids or any parent who has a young kid, because the kid's not going to wear the dumb mask. I suppose that, I don't know what that age is when you get to the point where a kid you can sort of trick into wearing a mask and say it's part of a game, and then they realize, no, this is just uncomfortable and it's a stupid game and I don't want to play it. So I'm certainly sympathetic to the parents out there like Lee, who lives in Seattle.
We normally wear it when we go into the grocery store, but having to actually have to wear it constantly, he doesn't like wearing them. And so to force him to wear it, especially when we're out walking, I mean, that's really hard.
Now, there's also some folks like our friend Ari who just texted in. The science doesn't back up the masks. I don't judge the people who want to wear them, and they shouldn't judge me for not wanting to wear one. With respect to everyone, I've seen some of the studies too. It is not simply the science isn't there. The science is mixed. It's true. That part's true, and I don't think anyone should lie about the science. People shouldn't just immediately say, oh, I don't like that woman. Oh, the science is there. Do it for the betterment of everybody. The science is not necessarily there. Science is mixed. I've seen science saying both sides. And if it says both sides, it doesn't mean we get to just pick and choose the science that we like. And also, I'll raise my hand, even though I'm the smartest person in the world, because I'm a talk show host, everyone knows that.
Wrong.
I'm not a doctor. Pretending that we've read any of these studies, other than reading maybe a summary of a study, is a little bit different than truly understanding what these studies say, because I've seen a lot of studies online that tell me, in meme form, oh, you know, if you wear a mask for 8 hours straight, you're going to die.
Have you tried that yet?
Die. No, because I'm going to die according to the meme. And then when you Google the actual survey that they're talking about, it doesn't quite say that. And it's not your normal mask that we're talking about here. So everyone just relax a little bit. Again, I'm not going to judge you for the position you take unless you lie about the reason why you're not. Then I'm all in, because that just seems wrong to me. Just own it.
Jason Rantz hates liars. You heard it here
first. That's my brand.
Hey, your hair looks great today.
That's also my brand. You're listening to The Jason Rantz Show, 1-800-465-877. If you want to join the conversation, send me a text message. We're not done with this conversation, so we'll read your text throughout the show. When we come back, an actress you've never heard of on a show you've never watched claims that she is a racist when she actually isn't. So we're going to get into that when we return right here on The Jason Rantz Show. Jason Rantz Show, 1-800-465-8770. When you text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770, I'm going to send you a link to my latest blog outing Tina Podlodowski as kind of unhinged in claiming that the Republicans here in Washington and across the country have a strategy to literally kill voters. I'm not making this up. And we shouldn't allow Tina Podlodowski, the chairwoman of the Washington State Democratic Party, get away with this kind of irresponsible conspiracy. So I hope you will help me shine a giant spotlight on this insanity by texting the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link to the story. We talked about it yesterday. Give it a read. And then just share it wherever it is you can. Now, Jenny Slate is an actress most people have never heard of, but they probably maybe recognize her voice. She just decided to quit her role on an animated series on Netflix called Big Mouth, a role of a biracial character. And she says her decision initially to take on the role was racist. Here's just a quick clip.
Hey guys, I just wanted to remind you, the theme of the dance is a night in ancient Mesopotamia. We're gonna put the social back in social studies.
Missy, do you mind? I'm doing a magic trick.
I love magic. It's like juggling, but it's definitely more confrontational, that's for sure.
I don't like her. I don't like her voice. I find it so irritating, but fine. Good for her. She's got a career, although now she's stepping away from it, at least in this case.
You don't like anybody.
That's fair enough. Put her on the list of people I don't like in that big book.
It's literally the population of the world.
Okay, we'll just add it to the list.
Okay.
We forgot to put Jenny Slate there. She posted on Instagram about her decision to leave the show. She said, at the start of my show, I reasoned with myself that it was permissible for me to play Missy because her mom is Jewish and white, as I am. But Missy is also black, and black characters of an animated show should be played by black people. Ending the portrayal of Missy is one step in a lifelong process of uncovering the racism in my actions. Her actions were not racist. She is an actress. Actresses play roles. Now, you could argue that it's inappropriate. If that's her position, that's her position. I'm not particularly passionate about the staffing decisions that people make for themselves. If the only role that Jenny Slate wants to play is a Jewish woman, a Jewish character, then that is on her. That is totally on her. But arguing that it is somehow racist for you to take that position is ridiculous to me. Not only because it's not racist, but because it feels like you want to get some sort of woke points, like you want a pat on the back for your decision here. She goes on to say, I acknowledge how my original reasoning was flawed, that it existed as an example of white privilege and unjust allowances made within a system of societal white supremacy, and that in me playing Missy, I was engaging in an act of erasure of black people. You didn't erase anyone's blackness. You didn't erase anyone at all. You took a role that presumably you were best suited for. Now, I suppose if the producers of the show are all like, we need to get a white woman for this role, no more black actresses, that would be racist. That would be very clearly racist. But this wasn't racist. Now, obviously, we need to separate out animation from real life, because the rules are obviously a little bit different. And again, I don't really care about the individual decisions of any actor or actress. But can we use then this logic and suss it out a little bit? Because this logic that only black people should play black voice characters on animated shows, okay, fine. Does that also then mean gay people can only play gay people? Like, does it mean that a gay actor or actress in real life can only play a gay character? Or would that be seen as a little bit inappropriate and limiting? Like, wouldn't folks in the activist community want to dispel rumors about gay people and say, you know, you could also play the lead in a heterosexual romantic comedy? Should that not be a part of the conversation? Are we then also saying that only biological women can play biological female characters on TV shows or in movies, animation? Again, would that not limit? Because I thought a lot of the argument coming from the left was that why shouldn't a transgender actress or actor get to play a quote-unquote cisgendered character on screen? Why should they not have the same access to the character? Shouldn't it be the best person for the job? What if that person's better than a cisgendered actor? Should we then not push back against that? And even in this character, she's biracial. She's black and Jewish. Should we find a black person who's also Jewish and those are the only people? At some point, you have to look at this and say, art is art. And if you want to make, again, personal choices, fine. But is there going to be consistency at all? Should there be? Maybe there shouldn't. Maybe all this is about is saying, you know what, cisgendered white people, you've been in charge too long. You've been getting too many roles. We're just going to stop you for a bit. If that's the goal, okay, then just acknowledge that. If that's the world you want to live in, at least acknowledge that. At least just say it. When I look at things like this, there are two categories of people. They're the ones that I'm concerned when they think what they did was racist because they are being pressured societally into believing that they're somehow a bad person. Again, in this case, it's not racism. Not in its intent, not in its execution. And I have compassion for people who have convinced themselves that they're bad because of some contrived scandal or controversy. And this is completely contrived. If good people want to pretend that they're bad and let bad faith actors make them feel worse or, I suppose, better, okay, so be it. But let's be clear about what we're dealing with in this story. This is an illusion, in a way. It's the appearance of being good. And that's where I come at that second group of people. The ones who want you to congratulate them for their wokeness. Jenny Slate did not need to leave this essay, essentially, on her Instagram. Instagram is for photos. I don't like this whole I'm writing a speech and then screenshotting it and posting it to Instagram. If you want to do that, do it on Facebook or get a website. I don't want words in my Instagram feed. But the reason why she did that instead of just saying, hey, guys, I thought about it. It seemed inappropriate for me to have this role. I'm stepping down. She wrote this flowery essay about acknowledging her white privilege and her fight against anti-racism or fight for racist policies. That's not about anything more than acknowledging you want other people to say you're a hero. You're not a hero. You made a personal decision. People do that all the time. This is the equivalent of the people who are only activists for a cause because they want to be a part of some kind of movement that makes them feel good about themselves. They don't do anything. And to be clear, stepping down from this role doesn't really do anything. You haven't solved racism. You weren't the problem to begin with. This was about herself, her ego, her need to be loved, acknowledged, congratulated, called a hero. I'm not going to do that. Meanwhile, you've got a company called Unilever, which puts out skincare products, or at least part of what they do is skincare. And they said they're moving towards a, quote, more inclusive vision of beauty, end quote, in their skincare products. They're going to remove some words like fair or whitening or lightening from their products. Lightening, not like lightning, like thunder and lightning, but lightening, like brightening.
Good job. Thank you for making the clarification.
Well, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. This is the epitome of virtue signaling. Now, I pulled the statement I want to read to you from the head of their beauty and personal care line. Sunny Jane says, we're fully committed to having a global portfolio of skincare brands that is inclusive and cares for all skin tones, celebrating greater diversity of beauty. We recognize that the use of the words fair, white, and light suggests a singular ideal of beauty that we don't think is right, and we want to address this. So essentially, the products you're talking about are brightening products, which sometimes I will use before going on TV. It just makes your skin glow a little bit more, and it lasts for like 2.5 hours, and then your skin looks dull again. It's not that big of a deal. I'm particularly white to begin with. I'm very pale. You know why this is a virtue signal? All they've done, according to the story, at least as best as I can tell, is they changed some words. Did you change the product? Does the product still make you glow? Does it still brighten your skin or whiten your skin or lighten your skin? Whatever you wanted to call it now, you're just not calling it that. But does it still do the same thing? So simply calling it something different, but having the same end result, have you changed anything? Again, this is the appearance of doing something woke. If the end result is the same, if the end result is still skin that is quote-unquote whiter or brighter or lighter, and you're simply not calling it that, and you're telling me that the reason why it's offensive to begin with is because it presents whiteness or lightness or brightness as the ideal beauty characteristic, you've not changed anything. You've literally not changed anything.
Besides the wording.
Except words. But the end result is still the same.
Sticks and stones, man.
It's kind of ridiculous. But cool, you got some social justice points. You got some social currency. So it trended on Twitter for a couple hours.
And all they had to do was change a few words.
Yeah,
look at that.
That's all they did.
PR at its finest.
You literally did nothing but change some words. Kudos to you. 1-800-465-8770. You want to send me a text message, 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, speaking of virtue signaling, we have a literal example of a giant virtue signal that's going to pop up in the middle of Seattle. We're going to get to that when we come back on the Jason Ranch. Welcome back to the Jason Ranch Show. Ah. Amazon just got the naming rights to the NHL Seattle Arena, formerly Key Arena. And it is the literal embodiment of a virtue signal. It's a literal signal of virtue.
Like a bat signal?
Like a woke signal.
Ah, that's my least favorite superhero.
They're not going to put their name on it. Which is what, of course, the vast majority, if not all, I think at this point, of companies do when they purchase the very expensive rights to put their name on arena. They are calling it the Climate Pledge Arena. Which is funny because just a couple days ago, we learned that Amazon's carbon footprint grew 15% in 2019. Its emissions from fossil fuels rose 18%. And now they're coming out and saying, we're going to call it the Climate Pledge Arena. No logo, no Amazon in little tiny letters. Just big old bold Climate Pledge, and then in slightly smaller font, Arena. The Oakview Group, who are building the arena, they put out a video today.
This whole project is really about climate and the Climate Pledge, and not being named after sort of a big corporation. It's actually being named after a vision.
Okay, but I mean, it's still, everyone knows Amazon is attached to it. You could have just not put the Amazon part on it and just said, hey, you know what? The company didn't want us to put their name out there. They're doing this just to highlight environmentalism because they care deeply about it. We're not going to put out their name. You know, obviously, if you guys do the digging, you might find it out. But you know what? The company said, we want to step out. They chose not to do it that way because now everyone knows that it's the Amazon arena without actually having them put Amazon on top. This is, again, about the social currency that we talk about. Social media currency. People will say, oh, they're so cool that Amazon, they didn't want to even put their name on it. That's the kind of company they are. They're all about the climate. That's all that it's again, it's a PR move. Now, it's a smart PR move because Amazon is dealing with a whole bunch of internal pressure to change the way they operate to make it more environmentally friendly. But it is still a virtue signal. It is still a virtue signal. And it's still a PR move. Kudos to them for coming up with it, by the way. I'm not offended by it. I'm not mad at it. I want Amazon to succeed. It's a local company. It's responsible for tens of thousands and thousands and thousands more jobs, directly and indirectly, in this region, and even more outside of this region. So I want them to do well. It's just, it's annoying.
I wish they would have been super petty. It would have been like the no head tax arena.
That would have been amazing.
For like a 20-year contract, even after this bill passes or
no
gets denied.
No head tax arena.
It would be great.
They say trash cans will be replaced with recycling bins. Uneaten snacks will be composted. They're going to get rid of natural gas and replace it with electricity. And they're going to use reclaimed rainwater for the ice. Oh, my God.
How can you not have a building that's committed to the Climate Pledge? Uh-huh. How can our players not be skating on anything other than rainwater?
I mean, the electricity bill is going to be rather high because it's trying to keep the ice, the rainwater.
But it's woke.
Yeah. Does this change the name of the team? Does this have any impact on the name of the team? Seriously, because I'm assuming it's going to have to be in line a little bit now with the message of climate change.
It's got to be like the recyclers.
It's going to be the orcas. The orcas almost died. Or they're all dead. Almost all of them. Baby one, it was all hungry and it couldn't find food.
You bet that it would be the freeze.
Yes.
I have a Jason Tells the Future that says, you bet it would be the freeze.
The freeze actually still works technically with climate change. It does. It's got two meanings. The Seattle freeze. I might go back to sockeyes. I kind of feel like that's more.
I like sockeyes.
I don't like it.
It's goofy, and hockey's supposed to be goofy.
Okay.
Here's my thing, though. You look for nicknames in arenas. When the Key Arena was around, you called it the Key. CenturyLink is commonly referred to as the Clink. Safeco, it just used to be Safeco, not Safeco Field. T-Mobile Park, I still haven't figured out what the shorthand is for
it's
it.
It's going to be eventually just T-Mobile.
But what's the shorthand for this? Is it the CPA? Is it...
Climate plan. Okay, yeah.
Is it the CPA?
Yeah, right? Or the Pledge. We're heading over to the Pledge.
To the Pledge.
It's going to sound like you're joining a cult every single time you go to an NHL game. We're heading on over to the Pledge. Meanwhile, speaking of T-Mobile Park, Mariner season is back, sort of. 60 games for the MLS season. It's going to start at the end of July. I think it's going to be either the 23rd or the 24th. They're still figuring that part out. It is the equivalent of a six-game NFL season. And I am all about this. The MLB season is too long. It's too many games.
You're the worst.
You can't get involved with that. You can't get that involved and still have a life. I like that it's 60 games. In fact, I would argue that's the perfect amount of time, especially right now, where you've got a lot of people who are thirsty for any kind of entertainment because everything's been closed down. And you're coming in, you say, hey, you're new to the game. We're struggling a little bit. We're not keeping the same numbers that we once had. Certainly regionally, that's the issue here and other places where the teams aren't particularly good or have had a bad stretch of games. You come back and look, you give me 60 games. Give me 60 games and we will rekindle your love of the sport, or we'll convince you that when next season comes, you'll stick with us for an entire season. I kind of like that idea.
I hate it. Yeah, this is awful. And it's so bad for the Mariners.
It's going to include mostly divisional play with games against American League West and National League West teams. At this point, they say there's not going to be any fans at T-Mobile Park or any stadium during the course of the season. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we're still in the middle of a pandemic. In fact, as the GM, Jerry DePoto, mentioned this week, they're facing the coronavirus pandemic on the team.
We've had more than one player in our organization test positive. We're not yet sure, with testing coming this weekend, how much of that will affect our 40-man roster.
Now, again, the good news is the people who are sick are not experiencing any symptoms.
With the cases popping up, especially in some of the hot spots around the country, we have had a few players test positive, and right now they're asymptomatic. They feel great.
So that's good. They're sick, but they feel great.
Good.
I want to get that kind of sick.
You
won't. I'm sick, but I feel amazing.
You have
bad luck.
When I'm
healthy, I feel sick. So there's no way I'm going to get that. And by the way, they still need approval for all of this.
Still need approvals. Some of that we're confident we're going to get. And some of that is going to come from information we will be able to provide the county and state.
I can't imagine King County comes in and says, no, you can't play. There's no way they're going to get in the way of a league.
That would be bad.
That would be what kids call a bad look.
Real bad look.
Yeah. It's cray.
No.
It's a cray look.
37 cray. And a half year old say cray.
I'm 38. Turn 38 in March.
Stop acting like you're 37 then.
You're listening to the Jason Rancho. When we come back, how do African American cops feel right now in the city with all that's going on? We're going to hear directly from them on the Jason Rancho.